Is anyone else there? If he knows, he can come. People. Uh-oh. Do you want some more of those?
I can make them. Just sit down.
Because there was no public here at 6:30, Neil, do you wish to make any public comment? Saying that you're the only public here?
I do need to make a public comment.
Would you like to do that?
I would like to do that. What's the status of the computer at the town garage?
My understanding was they were both working. Is that correct, Jim?
They haven't worked for, gosh, quite a while now. I've mentioned it to Becky. Becky said she was going to call Bob. She contacted Bob. Bob said he was going to be down Monday ago.
And oh, so they were working and then they failed again?
Yep, right shortly after they worked on
them. Shortly after you told me they were working, must
be. Yep.
So you don't have anything down there working at the moment?
No, the laptop, I went to get the laptop, new timesheet, and they reworked the laptop, took that down there and reworked it, put a new bigger hard drive in that or whatever they did to it, and went to get in that, and the screen went black, and that's not working. And then the Wi-Fi, of course, they had that all fixed up, so we had Wi-Fi on the computer when they took it down, and then they brought it back, and that's when I was like, well, I don't need the cable. So then, because we had the Wi-Fi built right in it, well, that's gone now. Shortly after, too.
So, but Becky's supposed to be having gotten Bob for you?
Yeah, and she sent him another email, came up today. I said, it's kind of getting ridiculous here. It's being dragged out. That computer's been bad issue with it right now.
They're both older computers, aren't they?
What's that?
They're both older computers. Nothing's new, right?
No, I thought you got one new one.
Yeah.
You just paid for it. There's a disbursement for the new one here on the thing.
But the problem is, too, that, and I don't know, like, Bob has to come in because we can't even get into our timesheets, because you go to get into them, and it says, you got to agree to subscribe to this and this and this, and I'm not subscribed. I mean, I don't know where to go and what to do. And so you can't, and every time you click to hit the X to get that screen to go out, it goes right back out. So you can't even get into the timesheets. And I don't know if that's a matter of resubscribing to it. I don't know. No clue.
You could also call Rita. Well, Rita's on maternity leave, right?
Yep.
But somebody should know down there that's taken over for her. Because she set that program up, right?
Yep.
I'd give her a jingle, especially if it's a rainy day.
And then the Wi-Fi, I guess, she said that Bob does the wiring. And so I guess that's what we're waiting on, I guess, because we don't have no Wi-Fi on the computer. It's in the shop because I can get it on my phone, but it's not. The computer is not.
I would thought that new one, they would have that all squared away.
Well, I do think that it's essential that the timesheets get on the computer and work. And it's a simple spreadsheet program, but the last time we had a FEMA thing, downloaded everything I need.
I couldn't agree with you more. The last time Jimmy and I talked about it, it was all fixed, and I thought we were.
It was, okay. And that was because I come up here because Becky was so I just handled it the first time and handled that event or whatever. So I came back up here and I was like, and so she reached out to Bob Merrill. And had I known, nobody even said anything when Dataman brought it back, I was like, do I need to be there? Nope. He says, all I'm doing is bringing it back and putting it back in there. I said, oh, okay. So the next day he comes to bring it in, and they're down there. Bob Merrill showed up to meet with him, and then nobody said anything to me about any of that. I didn't even, no idea. So the guy ended up running late, so Bob weren't able to do what he had to do, so I guess Bob left. And but, the emails, we can't even get into our emails. You can't do anything.
Well, we need to, we'll get right on that and get that fixed. Any other public comment? Does that answer your question satisfactorily, Neil?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, review of agenda. I have three things that I need to add. I have gotten an email from Laredo Zola. We have not signed off on his driveway, and so I'd like to put that under somewhere along the line under driveways for his final permit, mainly because no one told us that it was done. And so I'd like to add that. And I sent to you board members an addition to the proposal from Horizon Engineering for the Cloudland project. Did you all get that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I'd like to add that on. We need to make a decision on that. And then you have that NRCS project, Scott.
Right.
You sent some information. And so I'd like to add that on, and I don't care when those come. But those are the three things that I have to add.
I heard from the Standard that Christian Avard had moved on to greener pastures, and they wondered if someone from the select board could report to the Standard.
Report from tonight's meeting?
No, I think just in general. Any?
Okay, I'll call Virginia.
Call Neil Allen.
Neil?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that's her job.
Well, she's shorthand. I agree with you. It's not her job.
That's not her job. But anyway, we can put that on the agenda.
No, in all reality, if they want information, they ought to be either coming or getting it off of the recording. So it's somebody that's separate from the select board reporting to them. There shouldn't be a select board member reporting to them.
Well, I don't think it's really report. I mean, Christian makes inquiries all the time, like, well, I'm on different.
That's a little different. We are not Vermont Standard reporters. That's not our job.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Reporting to them is one thing, but maybe it's worth finding out what they want.
Okay. Any other additions that anyone has on the agendas? So I need a motion to add these.
Actually, can we back up a minute? Is roadside debris staying on?
I did not contact Cy. I thought that you were going to do that.
Well, I guess there's some confusion because he's not in charge of roadside debris. He wants to come and talk to us about cutting dead trees, standing trees, which is different. So I wasn't sure what he wants to come and basically get permission to move ahead as a tree warden. And you know, Jimmy knows there's a bunch of elms. In fact, there's elms on my property that it's not a good place for me to be in the road. I'd take them down myself. But
yeah.
He's standing trees.
But they're dead.
So is he going to come at some point then?
He will if we ask him. I mean, he mentioned it to me back in the summer. He said, "Hey, I want to fulfill my role."
I'll send him an email then.
Yeah,
and we'll get him on the next agenda.
Yeah, but it's for roadside. It's for dead trees along the road, not the roadside debris. Cause that's
right.
That's our different. That's our thing. That's once they're down on the ground, it's probably ours.
Anything else that you want to take off? Or any other additions?
Is Slack software staying on?
You could take it off unless somebody feels strongly. I mean, like, I would have looked into it more. And we can't use the free version because we have to keep the stuff. So to put everybody on, it's going to cost the town probably $80 a month. So I don't think that's probably something that we need at this point unless somebody else feels.
Okay, so I need a motion on the agenda as amended.
So Slack is off and roadside debris G is on. Okay.
And we're recapping on the truck bids, right?
Yep.
No, we've got to decide on the truck bids.
Right. That's what I meant by recap.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Then we have now approval of 9:18 minutes. Did anyone have any problems with those?
Just
Any problems with minutes? If not, I need a motion.
So moved.
Need a second?
I can second it, I guess, but I'm going to recuse myself because I wasn't at that meeting. So.
Second.
Any other problems with the minutes? All those in favor of adopting the minutes?
Aye.
Any opposed? Warrants for approval. We have a payroll warrant in the amount of 19029. In the amount of $10,016,484. And accounts payable. $19,032. For a total of $1,053,955.89. And that's it. So I move that we approve those two items. Are there any questions on either of those?
Okay, I just want to look at them as they come on. Just look at them.
I need a second on that motion.
Second.
Thank you.
They wanted to do it. I wouldn't let them.
To go?
No.
To
wet? Wet. Hopefully tomorrow.
It's okay with me. Probably going to get colder before it gets warmer.
Yeah.
Was there a second on that?
Yes. Yeah, I think you got a second.
Yeah.
All those in favor of paying those two warrants?
Aye.
Any opposed? Then please sign them. Road foreman report.
One of the biggest questions that I got is, do we have a contract that states any dates or anything in it for ECS down there? Like when he's supposed to have the project done or anything of that nature?
We do have a contract. It's in Ellen's files. And she has a signed copy. And I believe that it said in it, it would be out of there that they knew that they had the concern of being out of the water by the 1st of October. I'd have to go and look at that to be sure. And
was
I'm glad to do that.
Was there a finished date or anything on it?
1st of November.
1st of November. Because, I mean, you probably see some emails like follow-ups from Bob's site visits and John's, but the plan is that tentatively traffic might be able to start going through there. Not this Friday, but next Friday. But they're going to keep it closed during the day, but then you'll be able to drive it into the weekends. But he's going to have to keep it closed for the day while they're up there still working, because they're still going to work beside it and be in the road. But the way I'm hearing it, and what's over there again, in a couple of weeks they're going to be out of there, I think. Fingers crossed.
Good. Well, that'd be nice if you can keep it open at night, especially for emergency services. Like Kevin, though, when that's open, so you can let Woodstock, or somebody let Woodstock know, because sometimes it's quicker, obviously. Like you go to Fred Dobbs or something, it's quicker to shoot up that way than come clear around.
then, well, of course, Bob's driveway, I see you've got that on there, so you want me to just wait and we'll talk about that then?
Do it whatever you want, doesn't make any difference.
Well, I went down there, me and Steve actually went down and looked at it, and it's an existing access has been there forever and ever and ever on Starbucks, and he's got it fine, and the town came down through and ditched. And there's a deep ditch right there, and he's just asking if he can put a 15-inch culvert in there to be able to cross and go back up in there, just to make it more friendly, because he doesn't want to fill it in, put it back to where it was, and so we went down and looked at it. I don't see any problem with him doing that.
I didn't see a problem there either.
I don't have a problem as long as he uses an 18-inch culvert, because we changed that.
That is the other thing that I think we have to get addressed a little bit is that Bob was saying a 15-inch, and that this Dorman that we met with was saying a 15-inch, and his permit that he pulled up, it said a 15-inch culvert on there.
The form itself? On the form
itself.
We'll
make sure the form
The form didn't get changed, I bet.
And because he pulled it off the internet, or however he did it, and so, but he was fine with the sort of. We do have to do something there. And then the annual employment that you got. Do you do that on the anniversary, or is there a date when you do that?
Anniversary.
What's that?
The anniversary of the employee.
Okay, because Justin's will be coming up, just so that we do know that. Royal Group, they come in, they put the smoke detectors in, and the low temp sensor in. So that's done.
Great.
Nikon, I met with Nikon, we rode around. He looked at the places that we had to do, and I told him I wanted to go from more of the newest stuff, the better stuff, and work towards the poorer stuff. And so we came up with a crack ceiling down here from Howe Hill. I'm going to have them start at Howell, and they're going to come up through here. They'll go down to Bartlett Brook Road, and then they're going to come back once, you know, time limited, and then they'll come back and go from Dana Road, and not yet. So Dana Road, I think we figured it up. So Dana Road to Howell, pretty much, and that will probably do what he's got. I did have a conversation with him. I said, I heard I know there's been some concern. You guys sit inside the room warming that thing up, and we don't need to be getting, that's not going against us. And he goes, nope, by all means, it's not. So I said, okay, I just want to make that very clear because I don't want to see it happening either. And he goes, no. I said, that you will not. He said, it's 8 hours of crack ceiling. Okay, I said, I'm going to watch it. He laughed. He goes, I bet you will.
Good for you.
And then the paving, they didn't want to come in and start paving. They came in and swept it off, which is too bad because now there's leaves all over again. And he was going to start paving from Bartlett Brook Road down to the Library Street and do Library Street. That was the first section he was going to do. He called me up and goes, hey, what's the policy, Jim? On paving, and it had rained that morning, and they were saying 11 o'clock more rain. Well, it didn't rain that day anymore, but the road was wet. And I said, I don't know if there's a policy enough, but you're not paving and the road's wet. That's not good practice. And he goes, well, I'll bear with you then, he said, and we'll have to come back on a drier day. I said, all right. Mm-hmm. So his plan is to come in tomorrow, hopefully, if it's a dry day.
Doesn't look like it's going to be, though. That's...
What's that?
Does it look like it's going to dry out in this?
Tomorrow will support the rain.
Yeah.
If it's dry, then yeah, but if not, that's the bummer. And this time of year, it takes half the day for things to dry out before you can do anything. But I'm not willing to take a gamble on having this pavement and then have it not come out.
If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. That's better than putting it down and having it peel up.
The salt.
Now that's my opinion.
Where's the salt at?
It was my understanding from the last letter that Becky got, which was maybe 3 weeks ago. She sent it to all of us, that the state contract has not been finalized yet. And we can try and get some bids ourselves. last year we went with the state price, I believe. They were cheaper.
I think that's about the only cheapest one you're going to find.
You want to, would Chris Funk know what they've done?
I can call him, yep.
See if you can get an answer from Chris.
No, I think last year we got a slightly cheaper price. It was coming out of New York last year.
Well, we decided that we were going to go with that state bid earlier this summer. We didn't put out any bids. And so we're kind of behind the eight ball in that regard. I suppose we could still put one out.
I think it's easier just to go with the state bid. I mean, the difference in the prices for one artist came in versus the state one was
negligible. So I guess ask Chris, and we'll figure something out.
We put in an application. I think I did it before I got done as road commission. Didn't I put in told him we would want to reserve 1,000 tons?
I believe you did.
Yeah. So
I thought we had that all settled.
Yeah.
If the state hasn't signed a contract, maybe we don't.
They'll get it. They were late last year too.
So just to be sure, both the Dorman and the Harrington driveway with 18-inch culverts are acceptable?
Yep.
Okay. And no conditions? Well, Bobby's was just going to be an agricultural access, right?
Yep, and that's what Dorman's is.
So we should specify that when I do those temporarily approve the permits. Okay.
But Dorman's, I think we're going to have a discussion on Dorman's access. I don't know what is the whole answer to it all, but I did tell him when we and Steve went over there that I would like to see, number one, if it was an existing or any permanent access or agricultural whatever, but he just wants it strictly for an agricultural access, but he wants to be able to use it whenever he wants to use it.
So
any time of year.
Any time of year. I guess we've never dealt with.
If he's using it for ag any time of year, then.
If he said that he uses it to go in and mow his fields that are out in there, then there's going to even do some logging and pruning apple trees and stuff. So he's in there. All different times.
Yeah, but he's asking for an agricultural access, which doesn't limit the time of year that he does it. It's not like he's asking for a temporary logging access.
Right. I mean, an ag access doesn't limit the time frame he can use it.
It just means that it isn't for a house site.
Right.
So we should be okay there.
Yeah.
Unless you think there's a reason he shouldn't be in there. During certain parts of the year due to where it's at, I guess.
What?
Unless you think there's, for some reason, you shouldn't be going in there at certain times.
Well, no, I don't see it an issue going in there. I mean, but I just think that we need to just make sure that it stays in agricultural access.
Yeah.
So that should be very specifically delineated out,
yes.
Ag access only.
Yes.
Yeah, and the application in our package is for ags.
That's right.
So
we should be okay there.
And the only thing we told him that, looking at it, that it comes off the road and goes up and that he would have to get it. So
the 20 feet.
Good.
So we need to do the 20 feet also. And an 18-inch.
And an 18-inch culvert. He was fine with that.
Yep.
Didn't bother him at all.
Yep.
He must have looked on the residential one, because the ag one, actually, the permit, I can't see where it says anything about
it. It says 15-inch culvert required right here.
Oh, down there. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, I think we should
change.
If he's going to put in a culvert, he might as well put in an 18.
Yes.
And we'll make sure we get the permit changed.
Before
the application. Anything else on those two?
Like I said, they're there to fix, coming back to fix the roof. Tom was there today and wrote down a bunch of stuff to send his guys over so they knew what they were going to be doing. He said he'd be there tomorrow, so the roof is going to be taken care of.
Great.
And the only other question, and I've gotten some emails, and I think you might have been dealing with him, Frank. I don't know any, much about any of it, but and Andrew Mahan,
from
this, I'd have to look on my phone, but it was a couple things of asphalt that he gave the town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You and I can talk about that.
Okay.
Offline. I've got the stuff.
Okay.
I was going to use it, and then you went ahead and got the hot box out and fixed it right. So.
Okay. That's it.
Anything else? Hydrocedar grant.
Yeah.
Are you working on?
Just getting started on working on that. And actually, now that you brought that up, I've rented the jumping jack from Upper Valley enough to where I paid for quite a shot of it. So I'm working on getting a price together for one of them too.
Okay.
I think it's a good investment that the town has on it. Between running down there and getting it all the time and making sure you take it back, putting all that time into it. And
yeah, I actually bought one that came through broken and I had to return it. And then, we had one in the garage. I got it at Home Depot. It was like $1,800. So we can redo that again and get it, because I figured it up. It was, 6 days and you paid for one. Or something like that, something crazy. $250 a day, right?
I'm paying 70.
Okay, well, maybe I'm thinking something else, but anyway, it wasn't going to take long to
pay. No, it doesn't take long at all.
So we had one, and it was broken, so I took it back, and we just have reordered one. So if you want to get prices around, it's not, with Kibbe's gone, it's hard to find one locally, so I went with Home Depot. I'm sure you're the one I ordered.
But I haven't done with the two things. Yes, I am working on
that. I thought that's what you told me. Truck bids. John and Steve, you're up.
Steve's got them.
So, Tuesday, John and I and Jimmy reviewed the bids. And we kind of come to the conclusion that the International looked to be the better deal. And since then, in that meeting, we discussed standard transmission, as opposed to the automatic, for multiple reasons. If you plow it and you don't make a hill and you have to back down it, the automatic, you're not under compression to back up, and you're not also underneath, you're able to use the gate brake to help you. You're totally relying on brake. So I called Clark's and ATG. I haven't heard back from ATG, but Clark's is about an $8,866 less money than the automatic transmission. And I got the bid if anybody wants to look at them.
So we spec'd out an automatic?
Yes. Yep.
So what kind of money are we talking here?
The International's
did you go down to Woodstock and look at there?
We did. We went down this morning and looked at their stuff, talked to those guys, got their opinions on it.
They got Temco down there. And then they got the Viking set up down there, and they got one average set up down there. But first initial thing that one of the guys said when I walked in, he was, yeah, it's just, it's overbuilt, it's heavy, the mic and stuff. And so with that being said, and I walked around, looked at it all and everything, and they've had it 3 years, I think, now, problem free, and they haven't had no issues with it. So for the difference that there was in numbers, I can't remember, but it's quite a substantial amount between the two body vendors.
Yeah. The Viking was substantially less money than the Everest body. So.
Yeah, Viking was 78.6 and Everest was 95.5. So $12,000. So anyways, total, to answer Emily's question, total price is the international with Viking is $196,303.
And that's with the standard transmission?
That's with the automatic. So you.
That's with the automatic.
All of these are with the automatic.
Did we, in the bids, did we ask for options on the standard?
We didn't, because prior to that, all of our discussions were, and I think even when Frank started, they were all automatics.
Did all the vendors propose standard? Or is that our choice?
Can we That's say, our choice.
That's our choice. We wouldn't be putting them in a situation where, hey, they could come back and say, hey, you didn't ask for a quote on standard.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because these two vendors are the only ones that bid out of four. So
that bid at all?
Yep.
Well, if there's any concern, you can go back to the other bidders, the other bidder, and say, what's it going to cost to get a standard?
Well, that's what I did. I reached out to both of the vendors that actually bid to get a price from them on
okay.
it.
Well, then you covered your bases.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's always want to make sure everybody gets a fair shot at it.
And one thing that I did today also, because it wasn't in the bid and us as a board really hadn't discussed it, is ask them to also come to the garage and give us a trade value for the two trucks, or the truck. Because we did put in the bid that potentially we would consider making the two trucks, because we weren't sure as to what we were.
And you got those numbers for, did they come and do that?
They did, because I did, that was today.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so what are the other two choices, and what are they going to
Okay, so the other one was a Western Star. That one was $204,037 with Viking equipment. And it was $215,962 with the Everest equipment.
Do these prices include the warranties, or is this just basically?
This is without warranty. Yep. The warranties are here, but I figured that would be kind of a board thing to look at and figure out what we would want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then there was a Freightliner that was $193,665 with Viking equipment. And $205,590 with the Everest equipment.
What was the international one nine what?
196,303.
Okay.
And then 208,228.
All these are in the same ballpark.
Very close.
Yeah.
Yeah, very close.
So, my biggest thing is having dealt with these trucks is what's the service going to be like from which. Who's the vendor, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Okay, so the International is Clark's.
Okay.
The Freightliner and the Western Star was ATG.
Out of Westminster.
Yes.
Okay. Where's Clark's?
Underhill. They're probably 15 minutes further than ATG, maybe. It's ATG an hour.
at least.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably an hour and 15.
So basically, we've got to, before we can make a decision on this, we've got to see what they're going to give us for a trade. Yes?
I would think.
So that's the next step then, to get a trade number from, because we aren't going to keep that truck that we've had so much trouble with, right?
No.
We're all in agreement with that?
Yeah, we gotta wait for that other number to come back about the transmit spin or transmission.
Which truck is that?
It's two, isn't it?
Two is the oldest one.
Yep.
It's two and three. I mean, they've been following suit, so.
Yeah, I mean, they're only 6 months apart, so.
Yeah.
And my recommendation would be is to obviously look at the trade numbers and seriously consider getting two of them at the same time. Because there's going to be a delay in the build anyhow, and the other truck's going to be up next year and get it done so we don't have to go through this whole process again.
Is that able to give you a better deal if you get two?
But that's two tandems, right?
Right.
Yeah. I guess my only reservation would be is maybe we kind of talked about let's try one, you know, because maybe, I don't know, Jim, if you've got any thoughts one way or the other, but, you know, we were getting one or both switching to a different kind of truck to see if it was going to work better for us. So that would be the only thing. If we got two of them and we didn't like the truck for some reason, we'd.
You got any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, with that, I mean, I think that's a good idea. I think get one demo and try it, see how it's going to work. But you've got two other trucks down there that got to go anyway. You're not going to replace them all with 10 wheelers. So you replace the other one with another 6 wheeler. Yeah, you'd have to work something else out, another different RMP for it, whatever. You replace that one. Plan on replacing that one, and then what the scraper truck's doing, if the 10-wheeler works out good, then that's when you make a decision on whether you want to get another one or not get another one.
Yeah, or the other idea we had, and I started out saying I wouldn't consider it, but you know, the other side is if the trade-in isn't great, on, you know, if there's much of a trade-in on that truck, you know, maybe we keep that extra truck and it's our insurance policy. That's another way of looking at it.
I think it's in theory great to have a spare truck for when one goes down. The problem, these things are so computer driven now that it used to be you could keep an old spare truck and limp it along, but now you have one stupid sensor that goes that won't even let you drive the damn thing, and then you got to spend $3,000 to get it fixed. So it's like,
yeah, no, but it's a balancing act. But you know as well as.
But it's all frustrating
when you don't have a truck to jump into.
Oh yeah.
And the 550 is not, you know, it's not a truck that's going to take over for the big truck.
Well, I think Jimmy's got a good point, and so have you. That, you know, to get two 10 wheelers, if the first one doesn't work out, and now you've got another one on order, you know, maybe we should redo an RFP for a 6-wheeler, 4-wheel drive, and see what the numbers come in and get started on that right now so that we'll get that second one replaced. Because you're all right. I mean, they were bought within 6 months of each other, so they both need to go. Yeah. And I think we've learned our lesson. We're not going to run them 7 years very handily. We're in trouble when we do that. So.
And if we get another 4-wheel drive 6-wheeler, we're going to have to go to the next size bigger truck anyway to get the 24,000
pound. And it'll come in a good
time. Because that's robust
enough. If you did do that, because it'll come in after Woodstocks, and that's Woodstocks getting out in next. That's on order there.
And they're right around 218, 220. That's what he told us down there today.
Yeah.
But the good part is you'll know, too. I mean, you're not committed, even though they do say, yeah, you call them up and say, yeah, build me that truck. You're still not committed to it until it comes in.
Yeah, that's probably.
If you have issues with it down there, then you can say, well, wait a minute here. Because they are getting the one with the heavy front end.
Not a bad way. I don't think we need three 10-wheelers in town by any means. But I think, you kind of get one, see where it's going to work and where it's not going to work. You know, pavement, obviously it worked fine. We don't really need a 10-wheeler on the pavement.
Yeah, we're looking for the 10-wheeler to do the
south
end of town, out where you've got to go where Woodstock can go.
In my opinion. Especially Sandy.
Well, I think we need to get some numbers in and we can move on from this. Yes?
Yep.
Get some numbers. Before you go, Jimmy, on roads, did anybody talk to you about a hole in the pavement on Wayside Road right next to the bridge?
As I headed over there tomorrow.
Okay.
We're going over tomorrow. Hopefully, ditch it will get picked up.
Okay. Well, I told him to give you jingle.
Yeah,
but because I was afraid I would forget.
Yeah,
but obviously I didn't quite, so we're good to go.
Yeah.
Anything else for that we need Jimmy for?
Are we gonna vote on those driveways? We talked about them, but
yes, we can vote on those. I need a motion for the Dorman driveway with an ag service entrance only. 20 feet level and 18-inch culvert.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. And the Harrington driveway, ag service entrance. Has he got the possibility of making it level for 20 feet too?
Boom.
No, that one.
Bob knows it was a
It's an existing driveway, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think if we ask Bob to just slope it so that he knows that we don't want the water running in the road. I mean, he can crown it.
So we'll slope that for slope that.
The way that land lays there.
So water doesn't flow away.
It would.
Yep.
I need a motion for the Harrington driveway.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And I got a follower on driveways. Laredo Solo got a driveway permit this spring, and nobody ever said it was done. Although when we were up there looking at that road, it obviously was. Could you take a look at that and be sure that it's okay? It's when you drive by at some point, and you'll email him back and say we'll check it and we'll finalize that permit at the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
If you drive by in that direction. And also, while Jimmy's here, you got that increase proposal for Horizon Engineering to watch over the Cloudland Road Bridge. I need a motion as to whether you want to do that or not. It appears that somebody's going to have to kind of run roughshod on Smith to get this project done, and that's what John has been doing, but that means he's putting in more site visits than he originally intended with that original contract.
Okay.
And so he's saying $1,100 more.
That's reasonable.
Do we have a motion to increase that, and then I'll sign on the dotted line and send in the paperwork back?
We put the motion. I do have a question though on it. So we can second the motion. I don't have a problem with it.
We'll move the question then that
yeah.
We increase the contract of Horizons for $1,100.
Second.
Up to.
So somebody, I think Emily, whoever said running roughshod, that was sort of where I was going is, do we have a vendor who's doing work for us that we need to have a conversation with, I guess I'm not clear what the cause of this is. Is do we have a vendor who's dragging their feet, or is this weather, or what's the underlying cause here?
My understanding is foot dragging. He only got started here,
so
3 weeks ago, and he's under the gun.
Okay.
He's under the gun, and I think he's run into some ledge issues. Or some lack thereof that need to be addressed, and we want a job that's done and done right. And I think in this particular instance, we spent the money on the engineering, and if we want the job done and done correctly, that we better have somebody checking in on him in a, on a pretty regular basis. Otherwise, we, my feeling is we may not get the job that we had hoped for and we bid off. And so $1,100 more to make sure that things go as planned, and it appears as though Scott Jensen is spending quite a bit of time going down there as well, and he's not on our dime. I think it, for $1,100, it's probably, I think John and Bobby and Scott Jensen and Jimmy are handling it just fine.
Right. I guess I'm just, I guess the question I'm posing though is, do, is there a vendor who's, because of foot dragging, costing us money, or is it legitimate reasons?
He's done it on a contract price. He's not going to get any more out of it.
So it's, so he's got a fixed, he's got a fixed price.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and then the other thing that, that Chris Bum told us, that we could fold our engineering costs in into our grant for the bridge, and because it came under, well, I think with the two together, that it's barely $90,000. So we're gonna,
we're going to be under.
We're going to recover our.
Okay. All right.
We're going to recover.
Well, that makes
us, because the bid came in lower than the grant, and I, and he told me that we could add our engineering into the project.
Okay.
Too, so we don't. We're not going to.
We're not going to eat that.
We're not going to eat that. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right. That, well, that was my question. Thanks.
Ready to vote on the question?
Yeah.
All those in favor of giving John up to Horizons Engineering up to $1,100 more for inspection services, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, moving on. Emergency services, fire department coverage for North Concord. Kevin came in, and John, you put this topic on.
Yep.
And so Kevin has done a little bit of investigating. Yes, Kevin? And so let's have a discussion.
Yeah, I know a while ago Kevin was working with Hartford for fire coverage, ambulance coverage for the north end of town. And that got dropped for various issues. I just felt that now was a good time to bring that back up, given some lack of manpower in the north end, unless that's changed any. We had an offer more or less on the table before, and I just felt that now was the time to reopen that and see what we can do there. So.
Sure. So I talked with Chief Cooney from the Hartford Fire Department, and we revisited the proposal that was made a couple of years ago, just not in depth, but in, you know, if they see if they are interested, and they do have some more manpower on there now, and he said he did feel he could handle it. They wanted some numbers from us. I knew what the fire department numbers were. I did not know what the EMS numbers were. So I did contact Dispatch and Woodstock and ask them if they could provide me with a report for not only the fire but the EMS, and be put it in an Excel file that I could sort by address so we can give them an accurate summarization, for the calls that are in the northeastern section. And I might even look to, we originally looked at Joe Ranger, Clay Road, Graves Road, White River Lane, missing one.
You included Handy Road.
Handy Road, that's one, Handy Road, yeah. And there was, I think that was pretty much it from that section. We may, depending on the number of calls and depending on what they come up with, we might even consider expanding that a little bit, because presently we're only responding out of the South Concord Station. We just don't have enough manpower in the north end at all. that moved, and we just don't have anybody responding out of the North End right now at all. So, just for simple reasons for coverage, and just to go back, and what this proposal was originally was that they would respond per our request to put the proposal together for automatic response for fire. They came up with a proposal that they would respond to, I think they came up with a figure of about 200 residents. I think they took the number of houses and figured it by three or four. I'm not sure how they did their math, but I think they were talking about 200 residents is what they used for a number. And if they were able to bill us for running the EMS calls for that, for those homes, that they would provide automatic call, fire call, anytime we had an alarm or a call, they would roll for those same addresses, and there would be no charge for that. So I'm hoping that we can come up with a similar proposal again. And as I recall, the numbers weren't dramatically different for EMS than what we were presently spending for Woodstock. It was a little bit larger, but not dramatically by any means. So that's where we're at. We're putting some numbers together and we're getting back to him. He and Dave Rapp, Captain Rowley, are going to look at it and see what they can put together, and then run it by me, and then I can bring it back to you. And if you guys have any input that you'd like me to take along and get back to them with, I'd be happy to.
I talked to Chief Green Woodstock a couple weeks ago when I was at a fire meeting there, and about, you know, basically his comment was, you know, they're in the same boat we are, and they have more people, they've got a bigger town, but I mean, they can't offer us, nor will they be able to offer us anything other than what we get. And it's, you know, Hartford, you know, you're gonna get something.
I
basically said it would be, we need to do what we need to do to take care of people in town. I mean, right now, you know, having an ambulance come from Woodstock to go down to the West Hartford town line, to me, is just asinine. You know, Hartford can be there in 10, 12 minutes, and depending on the call, it might take Woodstock 45.
Yeah.
And personally, I'd push the line back this way. I'd figure out how far it is from Hartford Station, figure out how far it is from Woodstock Station.
That's exactly what I was thinking about.
Go with that. That's the only logical, you know, way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
So will you come up? So you're going to continue on down this line and come up with some numbers.
If you guys give it your blessing to proceed, I will do so.
Well, I don't think we really have a choice. We kind of have to service all the ends of town. Certainly we need to at least look into it. I would think. Is there consensus on that?
Yeah. It's a sign of the times.
Yeah. Well, I guess my only comment is that, you know, this is sort of all happening without, you know, EMS in town being advised like we did last time, which is the big hitch. So, you know, because we've got to work out some kind of working relationship with Hartford, because just because the fire might work well with them doesn't mean the EMS will, which is the point I made the last time. So,
not to make any hard feelings, but if our EMS can't work with their EMS, then there's bigger problems. And I don't see any reason that there wouldn't be in. I don't see why there would be any issue with our EMS working with their EMS. This is about the bigger picture and about what's best for the residents of the town and not whose toes are going to get stepped on.
It's not about toe-stepping particularly. You know, again, I guess the question is, if we dispatch out of Hartford, then will EMS even respond to the north end of town, the local EMS? Because we don't look to McKenna's now.
Yes, we do.
Fire.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a when Hartford Tones, for we just had a call there last week.
Yeah, I know, I heard it.
And when Hartford Tones, Woodstock Tones.
I think it would still be, unless they're, if it's in Pomfret, and as long as we have dispatching out of Woodstock, that it still ought to go through Woodstock, and our fastball is still ought to be called.
Well, that's the question.
I mean, I don't think, to me it's not a question, that would be my mind, that's how we would do it. I don't think you're talking just turning this section of town over to Woodstock or to Hartford. It would be a very similar agreement as far as EMS is concerned. It would be adding fire, but the EMS provision would be very similar to what we have in Woodstock.
As far as the way EMS is handled, I don't see a difference in how it would be handled. It would just be dispatched from two different places, that's all.
Yeah, their ambulance is obviously going to get dispatched by themselves because they dispatch. We should be telling them at the same time.
Well, yes, but I do think there is another moving part here, and that is that our ambulance service from Woodstock right now is based on number of residents in town. And so if you take it, and this is looking at this strictly in a financial way, if you take, let's just say, a quarter of that population and you switch that over to Hartford, in order to afford to switch that to Hartford, you've got to get a reduction from Woodstock if they're not going to respond. And there's also, when you're using two dispatch services as an entity for coverage and for... because I personally feel that the fast squad is a very important part of what we give the residents of Pomfret. You probably get 10 times more fast squad calls than you do fire calls. And so you're providing...
About twice as many.
Twice as many. So we have to be sure that all these kinks can be worked out so that... Because when you talk about the fast squad response time, there's members in the south end of town and the north end of town, and it also depends who's where and whether they're in Burlington or wherever, but they always seem to get there, and so we've got to be sure that all these moving parts can fit the puzzle.
There's definitely moving parts in the way I would envision, you know, as far as the communication part of the relationship is responding to calls, and it used to be this way with Woodstock, and they haven't done it lately. But it used to be that when Woodstock responded to Pomfret, they would sign on the Woodstock channel, and they would switch over to the Pomfret channel. That's what they should be doing so that they can directly communicate, and that's how Hartford should be doing it. They'll get their call on their Hartford channel, and they'll let their station know that they're leaving. And then they should be coming over. They're responding to our town. We have our own communications. And they should be switching over to our channel so they can communicate with our side of things. Because it is. It's, we are working. We have to mesh and we have to work together. And then the other question as far as the per capita of what Woodstock is, you know, charging. Obviously, that's not... I don't know who, if that's up the board decision or that's... Dave is the chief and the director of fire and EMS down there. I don't know who decides that, but you know, his comment to me when I did talk to him about it, that, you know, they're not worried about what bit of money that they're going to lose by.
Oh, I don't think that they. I didn't mean to indicate that they are. Right. I just meant to say that there are a lot of moving parts to consider before we get anything in the works. And all of these things, we're coming up on budget time. We have no coverage. And so we need to figure out what our options are
in a
fairly timely manner.
Questions that certainly need to be answered.
And I don't know how they decide. I assume the head of emergency services besides what that dispatch fee is, but and the ambulance fee, but it all comes from the town manager's office.
Right, and it has always been done on a per capita basis or the number of people being served. So one would imagine that if Woodstock has less people to respond to, that they're going to charge based on the area that they're responding to. That is a question that should be answered. So.
So you'll look into you'll put out some more feelers,
yeah.
Kevin.
Yep.
Anything else we want to talk on emergency services other than this kind of very preliminary basis?
I don't know if Kevin has something else at this point.
Anybody else? Okay, gun real estate settlement. You saw in this. Thing. There was a disbursement here for John Dunn, and I spoke with Tracy, the lawyer from Springer Law Firm, and she indicated that Ellen and Sullivan Powers' assessment of how that should be settled was correct. The figures that Ellen gave us went to, or me, to the 15th of September, and she added in the interest that we owe back Mrs. Dunn till the 1st of October, and that check was in this folder, and so we have now finally got that settled, which I think is great. So we've done that. So that'll be done, and we can take that off the books.
Not that it's on the agenda, but whatever happened to the other little sliver of land?
It's still sitting there. It's not really saleable. It's not 2 acres. Or if it is, it's 2 unusable acres.
Yeah. Someone just needs to get a hold of Gremlin. Gremlin. I forget his first name. Indicate he might be interested in it.
Do you know the guy?
Jim Gremlin. Well, yeah.
It's not saleable a lot. If you can get a small amount of money out of it, have somebody pay a little bit of taxes on it, it's better than sitting there with us. I mean,
we would do well just to give it to somebody to get somebody to pay the taxes on it.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll get a hold of him.
That would be great.
What's that for?
That's for a piece of land on Handy Road that we acquired in the tax sale a couple years ago, and it really is a very odd-shaped piece that doesn't have enough road frontage to, or a possibility of putting a house on, which is probably why they didn't pay taxes on it. Budget schedule, we need to get a handle on this. Frank, are you willing to pull off those budget worksheets as you have done in the past?
Let's see.
Do you want to think about that?
Yeah. We can come up with something. I think we just got to utilize work with Scott to make sure that we, when we put it on SharePoint, that we
get the right one.
Well, we get it. Yeah, get it. So we're all working on the same on one. So that was the confusion last year.
I would hope that we could get, I'll write an email to the library and to Ona, the cemetery, and hopefully we could get those things started so they might get them in here by the 1st of November or soon thereafter, and we'll have to start on the budget here very soon.
Maybe
in order to get our part done. What?
Maybe the fire department too.
And we'll talk to the fire department as well. And maybe, if nothing else, could you print out a worksheet for Jimmy and I to go over so we can get Jimmy started thinking about his budget?
Yeah.
That would be great. And just print one off, and that way we could start on that. Okay, Tom Leonard report. I gave you that report that he sent out, a follow-up. And Johnny, you talked to him yesterday about the 50-amp service that you talked to Frank about. Would you like to speak to that issue?
Well,
I wasn't there for that conversation.
that's probably the most sensible one. And that came about after I mentioned to Frank the various options that that Tom had come up with, that Frank had suggested maybe just running a sub-panel from this breaker rather than one with a 100-amp service here and a 100-amp service there, and requiring a 200-amp transfer switch purchase to get, because the 100-amp isn't big enough. And so Tom took a look at the load factor in this building and the load factor in the brick building, and then he looked at some of the paperwork in the state regulations, and he thought that if the peak power that's being drawn, looking at the various bills over the last year or so, is what he thinks it is, that he could run a 40-amp or 50-amp breaker from this panel down there for a sub-panel and power that whole building and not require another transfer switch. And that would be the better way to go.
When I was looking at the different alternatives, that's the one that made the most sense to me, just have that building powered off of this building, and it's automatically hooked up to the the generator. It solves the water problem. It gets rid of the service, so it saves us $20 a month. And
it seems like the logical thing. And so then the question is, as a board, do you want to pursue something like that and try and get that in the works this fall? Do you want to plan for it next spring, where it's getting toward winter, and that's still going to require an underground wire, right?
It's going to require a conduit to go from here to there, probably run another conduit as a spare conduit, and then run a third one for the fiber down there, whether you use it or not at this point, and have somebody dig a trench. And if you want it done, it should be done in the next probably 45 days or so. And we could get a bid from Tom, and I'd be happy to get a bid from somebody else if you're interested in doing it this year. But
I would say move on it if we can.
So would you make a motion to include having maybe John do the legwork and get some bids, and then we'll try and get it done this fall? And as far as taking the money, I think there's some town building renovation funds that are available that we could use for that, and I think that would solve our water problem here when the power went out. It would solve a lot of things, and it sounded like the cheapest alternative and the most workable. So would you like to make a motion to that effect?
If you have a couple of other electricians that you might suggest that I call, I'll be happy to call them. And
I guess my question is, if we got to put a ditch in, can we get the road crew to, I know they're busy, but they're a lot cheaper than hiring a contractor.
I'll be more than happy to talk to Jimmy about it. I'll call him tomorrow morning.
We talked about
it. Tomorrow Thursday? Yeah.
We talked about buying a trenching bucket for the excavator here. I forget what the price. You remember, John? Was it
like $1,000?
Yeah, I think 800 rings a bell. But anyway, I don't know if there's other uses. I forget why we talked about it.
You want to do your test bit and want to up on how
it is. Oh, that's right. So, we can do that, and we can use the regular one. It just makes a bigger mess. But, we've got an operator and an excavator. It's a day pulling them out. So if Jimmy can find it free for a day, that would be great.
So if I were to talk to Jimmy and he said he could free him up for a day, then I could tell John that the excavation would not be part of the project. We would get the excavation done.
So the question is, would the town want to put the conduit in? It's a kind of a no-brainer. That's go real quick.
Yeah.
And then cover it up right away.
I'm sure Judge has done plenty of conduit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's already done that, so he knows what.
Yeah, John and I talked about putting at least one or two extra pieces of conduit in, because
if you're there,
throw a couple pieces in the hole.
Yeah. We just got to figure out. Tom can size whatever we need for the electrical. We'll have to talk about. I know telephone's minimum is 2-inch. I don't know what EC fiber is, but the difference between 2-inch, 2.5 is nothing. So,
I need a motion.
So I'll make a motion to have John work with Tom to figure out what we need for pipe size and so forth, and then we can have the highway do the dirt work.
And have him get two or three quotes?
Yeah. Can I get one from Tom and a couple of others?
I mean, I would think, if we have to, but I would think Tom's been working on this right along, and
well,
I can't see it being a very big number.
What's the threshold?
1,000, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty low. We probably should raise that.
We probably should, and the thing that it's, this is a similar situation to, and I thought about this, and I don't have a problem with getting bids and stuff, and I think that is, in many respects, that's a fair way to go. But for instance, if you've got the Royal Group doing your fire alarms down there at the town garage, and you were talking about putting fire alarms in the town hall, when you start mixing these vendors around so that you've got a different vendor in every town building, it's an administrative nightmare. And so there ought to be a way where we can say, you know, if this is a reasonable price, just, you know, you're taking care of our buildings, you know what the electrical situation is, just do the job. And in my view, it's going to save us money down the road because they don't have to come in and learn the facility all over again. That's just my opinion.
And it's going to speed the process up, too.
But
I agree. However, you know, if you get, just because you get the quote, Tom, say, I don't know, I forget what the estimate was, 3,000 or 4,000 maybe, something like that. And then you get a quote from somebody else, you know, if it's $500 less, it doesn't mean that you have to go with them. It's just making sure that you're on the same page.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So,
$1,000, I don't know, they're just too low for it. It makes things cumbersome.
Right. Well, it's a new day and age. Everything's $1,000 used to get you a lot. Now it doesn't get you.
Doesn't get you three bags of groceries. You've got a steak in there.
So,
I'll get the three bags.
So we can revisit.
I need a second for the motion that's going to have John get a couple quotes and I will talk to Jimmy in the morning. I'll call him early. Are they still starting work at 6 or are they at 7 yet? 6? I'll catch him at 6.
Basically, one other question. Tom came up before and looked at it. I think he charged $200 to do what he did. He's going to spec out the size of the conduit, the size of the wire, how much amp service. So we're covered with the state regs in terms of putting stuff down there. If he gets the bid, he waive that. If he doesn't get the bid, he may charge that. So,
well, we just paid him for that. And to be honest, to get somebody in to survey the situation, that's money well spent. At least you know what you've got.
And then we can spec it tight with the other contractors or vendors. Yeah.
Tom's more than just an electrician. He's an electrical engineer. Sometimes that's important.
Right.
I need a vote on the motion.
Who seconded it?
Did anyone second it?
John did.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you, John. HR consultant initial assessment contract.
So did everybody see what I distributed around from Teresa?
Is it in the packet?
No.
Did you get a chance to add it? Soon?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So it's pretty straightforward. She really peeled it back. And so, in a nutshell, I'll read it to you. She put together an abbreviated contract. Most of this is boilerplate language. And then if you get to the end of the document, there's a Schedule A. And basically, I said go back and give us a proposal just to do the assessment, and then we'll go from there. The board can either vote to do something with the results of the assessment, which, you know, I have no doubt the assessment's going to be beneficial for us to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, pursuant to our conversation last time, this doesn't get us roped into anything. We can scope out what we want from her after that. I'm trying to find the total dollar figure here. So basically $650 for the assessment. You'll see that in Schedule A. So, which I think is pretty reasonable price. So I would move that the board approve this amendment, this new contract that Teresa put together for us.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So go. Will you notify her?
I will.
Town Hall.
Actually, I'm sorry. Before we move off of this, Emily, do you want to sign the contract, or you want me to sign it? How do you want to handle it?
Probably I have to sign it because I'm chairman.
Okay.
Are you going to? And they should have a copy here, a hard copy in the office.
Okay. So you've got it. So why don't you sign it, and I'll send it back to Teresa. You want me to print it off right now for you to sign?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay.
Or, yeah, sure. We'll get it signed and get it back.
I'll just print off the signature page and then I'll scan it. And then
that sounds good. Town Hall deficiencies update.
I don't have any fresh updates. I called John Syme. I was trying to find a follow-up with John Syme. What John was going to do is get us a quote for the small stuff. For Town Hall. I haven't heard back from him yet, and I actually didn't hear back from Art Breck either. So I guess I need to try and get them again. And
Art's not here.
Yeah, he's gone. I think he took off to Montana already.
Yeah.
So
Tom.
Say again.
Have Tom Leonard. We'll get the electrical.
Okay, so we can get Tom Leonard too. So I don't really have any updates. Do you?
No, because we're waiting on the alarm for the next passive grant, right?
Yeah, we're gonna. Yeah, that was.
They were okay.
That'll come out in January.
Yeah.
funding of Howe Hill project, road project. We mustn't forget we have this NRCS project.
Yeah.
As well, I emailed. Chris Bump, and if we get a paving grant this next year, which he indicated that there was a good likelihood that we would, but that there would be no guarantees, it would be a maximum of $175,000.
Yep.
We have $200,000 that we didn't use this last year for paving, and
you mean last year or the current fiscal year?
The last year. The year that ended the 1st of July.
It,
the last day of June. We did not pave last year, but we had...
We're paving this year, though, right?
That's correct.
Right.
But we did not pave last year, which is why we ended up with a $200,000 surplus.
Right.
So we have that $200,000 sitting there. We'll use the paving money this year, unless it gets so cold we can't pave. And in that case, we'd have another $200,000 unless we pave next spring. But I assume that they'll be able to pave. I think Jimmy made a good call telling them they couldn't pave in the rain. I can live with that. And
wait, so Springfield might not pave this year?
They're intending to pave, but if it gets and stays cold,
yeah.
I think Jimmy will not allow them to pave. And so... In other words, if you put the pavement down and it's too cold or it's wet, it's not going to stay.
Right.
So there's a possibility that they're late and it's gotten cold that I suppose they might not pave. That being said, We have already have $200,000 in fiscal 19's surplus. We may get $175,000 in a paving grant.
Right.
We may not. There's a small amount of money in the paving reserve fund. I didn't check on that figure. And if we put another $200,000 into paving for the next budget year, that would be $575,000. And I would suggest that we up that to $300,000 this next year. The project just needs to be done. And if all else fails and we don't get a paving grant, we have the authority to borrow, or we can change some things around to end up. But I think we need to get the RFP out so that they'll get the job done. The other thing that could save a significant amount of money is if we closed Howe Hill while we were paving, and so we didn't have to pay for flaggers. And I am going to email the Sharon Select Board and ask them if they would even consider such a thing. Because people seem to survive the week that it took them to do the culverts without too much fuss and muss. I don't know whether nobody complained to me. And so if we close the road during the day when they were working and let people go back and forth at night, it might save us a significant amount of money. If you're talking a 2 or 3 week project, and I assume it would take at least 2 weeks, that's going to be $20,000 just in flaggers.
Plus they'll be able to work a little bit faster.
Oh, absolutely. And so that's something we might want to really consider and think real hard about.
We ought to at least look into it and see if it's something that...
Well, and I'd like to say that was my idea, but it wasn't. It was Jimmy's. But I thought it was a real good one. And so I don't think we have a problem as far as paying for it. I think we can get there.
So it doesn't look like we have a problem. But one thing to clarify, though, is we actually don't have... Well, it's a question mark whether we really do have the authority to borrow without voter approval. We do. What we do have a power to do is borrow on a one-year note. But I think that the concern... this may not end up being a very big chunk of money, even if we don't have enough. It looks like it could be we could be shy. If we get the grant, we'd be shy by about 226, which would actually be next year's FY21, the next
money.
Year's paving money. So that would really pretty much cover it if we get the grant. If we don't get the grant, then that's another... Then we've got to figure out a way to come up with the delta. So that's the wild card in all of this is the grant.
Yeah.
Well, and I do not want you to think that Chris Bump guaranteed that.
No, I'm not saying.
I don't want you to think that for a moment. He thought we were in a good position to get a grant, because we hadn't gotten one in several years. That being said, there was no guarantee, but the maximum amount, which is what I was after when I emailed him, is going to be $175,000.
Right. Right.
So we will get no more than that.
And our expectation is that the project would take until it would roll into the new fiscal year. Would it get done after would it be done after July 1 next year?
That is something that we would not know. And we will not know.
Well, you can put that in the RFP.
I would suggest that we get it done sooner rather than later.
Because that, too, will drive the funding. Is if we execute the project before the next fiscal year starts, that does pose a challenge for us in terms of...
unless we could borrow, I mean, I know we could borrow
You can borrow in anticipation.
If we're of taxes.
Yeah. Well, yes, but you're also forgetting there's that $200,000 in the rainy day fund that you can borrow from for a short-term borrowing situation, which this is just exactly what that would be. If you started paving the 1st of June and those bills came in the 1st of July, there's no reason why you can't pay that bill out of the rainy day fund.
Yeah,
that's what it's there for.
Yeah, if that's the timing.
And then you replenish it back.
I mean, if that's the timing of it. If it were done much earlier, it might be a different scenario.
And if you were going to close housing, so that they could work on this, you would have to wait until school was out. And so you could not start the project until after the 15th of June.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that I will email the Sharon Select Board and ask them if they're interested in that and whether they have considered that.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. To be continued.
But I will ask them. But I think that here you go, Scott. I think we can get the project done, and quite frankly, I think we have to get the project done. NRCS project. Scott, you spoke with the gentleman.
Yeah, Michael LaPointe from the state. So he's been pinging us for a while, and I think this kind of, I'm not sure where the... At any rate, I spoke to him a couple of days ago, and they're basically giving us one last shot at this. And let me just bring up the numbers for this. So there is money already allocated to Pomfret, federal grant money, sitting, waiting. It is 40-some-odd, I can't remember. Let me. It's a sizable chunk of money that again has already been programmed, and the way Mike expressed it to me is that this is sitting in basically NRCS USDA funds, waiting to be executed, and all they need for us to do is to fill out the grant paperwork and get it rolling. And if we don't do this, that money's going to get swept out and it won't be available, and then we'd have to do it all over again. So this, just as a refresher, this is work along Bunker Hill Road, and I believe, two projects, one on Bunker Hill and I think one on Pomfret Road. And one is, I hope I have this right, I'm not sure exactly. Hang on, let me make sure I'm not telling a lie here. Because when we submitted our letter, hang on, sorry, bear with me for just a moment. I want to find the original letter that we sent. It wasn't just Bunker Hill.
I thought there was two places.
Was it two projects on Bunker Hill?
One was just above Tom LeBlanc's. I don't remember.
Okay. So both projects then are on Bunker Hill Road.
Was the other one down by what?
One's by Amato's, just a bit back from that.
That's above Tom LeBlanc's.
Yeah.
Was the other one further down where you had that terrible wash?
I think so.
Just before the parsonage?
Here.
West of the parsonage? East of the parsonage?
Here it is. Yeah, both sites are on Bunker Hill Road. This is basically to armor the stream bank. We have two sites that... Oh, okay, it was off Pomfret Road. Yeah, the ones I'm thinking of on Pomfret Road were not
eligible, but the two sites on Bunker Hill Road were eligible, and we did get the money allocated. So, long story short, the money's there. It's going to get swept if we don't apply. The grant paperwork, we've got to do the grant paperwork, obviously, and it's a kind of a pain in the ass, but I'm happy to take this on since I'm...
Do you have the grant paperwork there?
I do. I have all the grant paperwork. It's going to be a fairly hefty lift here to get all this done, but if the board's interested in going after this...
How much money are we talking?
I want to say it's 40-something grand. Hang on, let me make sure I'm...
When does the work have to be done, right? Mm-hmm.
By the 15th. I'm not sure. I'd have to look over. I haven't
just told Jimmy, he'll get it done.
It's basically, yeah, it's just over 40 grand, 41,274.
Your money.
So, you know,
those spots definitely.
They're going to wash out. Yeah, they're going to get worse. So, you know.
I would love it if you would like to do paperwork and try and get the grant so we can get the money.
All right, well, I'll...
If you're willing to do that would be wonderful.
Since I'll do the paperwork.
I can't speak for the whole board, but I'll bet you they'd all agree.
Okay, well, I'm happy to do the grant paperwork if you guys want to go for it.
That's wonderful.
Okay, so I move that the board pursue the grant application for NRCS funding for the two projects on Bunker Hill Road.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. The only other thing I have left here on these extraneous items that we added was do we want to discuss the Vermont Standard request and make some decision as to whether... I feel it's not up... I personally feel it's not up to us to...
Any information they want, they can...
They can get it off the recording, or they can read the minutes, or they can send someone. And I don't think it's up to us to do anything more. Now, that's my personal opinion.
I agree.
Yeah.
Is there consensus in that regard?
Well, I guess the only thing I would say is, are we sure, do we know what they really want? I mean, do you know, what do they actually ask
she
for?
She just asked if I could... She asked me if someone from the board... could report the results of the board meetings.
Tonight's meeting.
I think in the near future, she said they're very shorthanded and there are all kinds of meetings on Wednesdays. And I told her I would have to ask Emily.
Yeah.
And we'd get back to her.
Yeah, that might be a different story then.
I just
they think have the recordings, they have the minutes available to them, which has...
That's not our job. And do we have consensus on it? It's not our job.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine if we want to answer questions, but
I don't mind answering questions, but I don't want to be a Vermont Standard reporter, and I don't think any of us do. Okay, moving on. Select Board correspondence. There was a change, a slight change in the Two Rivers plan, Two Rivers regional plan. And other than that, and also Vermont Visiting Nurses, I assume this is a request for an amount of money. But I didn't have time to read it thoroughly, but I assume that's what it was for the upcoming year. So that's the only correspondence.
How much are they talking? I mean, if you've got it, let's get... We can put that right in our new budget line item.
Well, actually, they're not asking for anything at the moment.
Okay.
They're saying that a request for funding in the amount of $39.50. They're saying that there was $16,000 in unreimbursed care to Pomfret residents. But they want $3,950. review of assignments. I'll get these permits for the road out. I'll talk to Jimmy in the morning regarding doing the ditch. And we will get the form changed. And Scott's going to do the NRCS project. And you guys are going to work on the trucks, getting...
I'll get trade prices.
Get trade prices. And then hopefully we can make a decision at the next meeting.
And confirm.
And Frank's going to get a preliminary, at least get me out a budget worksheet for the highway. And we and Scott are going to see what they can come up with so that we can start working on the budget pretty soon. Yes, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Anything else that I've forgotten? So then, and agenda items for next meeting. We'll do that later. We'll do that before the next meeting.
Dead trees.
Oh, dead trees.
Trees in the truck.
Standing trees.
Yes.
Oh. Standing but dead? Dead trees that are standing?
Oh, nuts.
Budget, truck purchase. Okay, now I need another motion to go into executive session for Cindy's employment review.
I move the board make a finding, specific finding that premature general public knowledge would clearly place the board and a person at substantial disadvantage in regard to personal evaluation pursuant to 1 VSA 313 A3.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we're now in executive session.
Aye.